Let's read together Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. In these opening verses of the prophecy of Zechariah, we have an exhortation to repentance, verses 1 through 6, and then we have Zechariah's first prophetic vision, verses 7 through 17. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 6. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, "The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us, according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us." Let's begin our study of Zechariah with some background notes. Zechariah is one of the three post-exilic prophets, the other two being Haggai and Malachi. Now, what do we mean by the term post-exilic? We mean after the exile. Remember, the Jews spent 70 years in captivity or exile in Babylon for their sin of forsaking the Lord. The three post-exilic prophets prophesied in Israel after this time of captivity in Babylon. When the Persian Empire under King Cyrus brought the Babylonian Empire to an end, King Cyrus permitted about 50,000 Jews to return to their homeland. You can read about this return under the leadership of Zerubbabel in the book of Ezra. This royal edict of Cyrus in 538 BC, which permitted the Jews to return home, was inscribed on a clay cylinder and can be seen today in the British Museum. Once again, this is archaeological support for the accuracy of the Bible. Zechariah was a priest as well as a prophet, like the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel, who also had a priestly lineage. Now, in the opening six verses of Zechariah's prophecy, we have an exhortation to the returned captives to repent and to obey the Lord and not make the same mistakes that their fathers had made. That is the generation that was sent into exile. The point of verses 5 and 6 is that the word of the Lord through the prophets concerning the captivity came true. So now don't make the same mistakes. This is Zechariah's exhortation to repentance to the new generation of returned captives. Now there's good response to this call to repentance, as we see here at the end of verse 6. So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us, according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us. Now in the first six chapters of the book, we have eight prophetic visions concerning the future of Israel. All eight visions are meant to encourage this remnant of captives who had returned from Babylon. All eight visions have practical application for us today. Our two doctrinal points now come from the first prophetic vision. So doctrinal point number one, the present status of Israel is in the valley of the times of the Gentiles. The present status of Israel is in the valley of the times of the Gentiles. Let's read verses 7 through 17. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shebat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. I saw by night, and behold, a man was riding on a red horse, and it stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow. And behind him were horses red, sorrel, and white. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? So the angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, How long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which you were angry these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel who talked with me with good and comforting words. So the angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease, for I was a little angry, and they helped, but with evil intent. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. This is the first prophetic vision of Zechariah, the vision of the horses and riders. Notice the many features of this first prophetic vision. There is a man standing astride a red horse in verse 8, waiting for a report from the riders on other horses who have gone out on a reconnaissance patrol throughout the earth. We learn from verse 11 that this rider standing astride the red horse is none other than the angel of the Lord. Now, the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is not just an angel, but the Lord himself, specifically the pre-incarnate Son of God. He's called the angel of the Lord not because he's a higher class of angel. No, he's called the angel of the Lord because the word angel means messenger. And so it's used in that way in reference to the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord in the vision is not to be confused with the angel of verse 9 and verse 14, who is the interpreting angel, who is giving the meaning of the vision to Zechariah. Notice that the angel of the Lord is in the midst of the myrtle trees, which are in a hollow or ravine or valley. We believe the myrtle trees represent Israel in the vision, just as the vine and the fig tree represent Israel in certain prophetic scriptures. So these fragrant myrtle trees here in the valley represent Israel. The report comes back from the reconnaissance patrol in verse 11 that all the earth is resting quietly. Now that sounds like good news, doesn't it? But it is really bad news for Israel because it signifies Gentile domination of the earth while Israel is still in the valley or ravine of affliction. We see in verse 15 that God is exceedingly angry with these nations at ease. This then represents the present status of Israel. Israel is suppressed and kept in the valley or ravine by the Gentile nations who are in power. We could call this valley of affliction the times of the Gentiles. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus referred to the time of Gentile power right up until his return as the times of the Gentiles. So we see the present status of Israel in this first part of Zechariah's vision. The present status of Israel is in the valley of the times of the Gentiles. Doctrinal point number two. The future status of Israel will be on the mountaintop of kingdom prosperity. The future status of Israel will be on the mountaintop of kingdom prosperity. Now comes the good news in the second half of the vision. The Lord knows and cares about Israel and is only allowing the Gentile nations to afflict Israel at the present time in order to bring them to the point where they will return to the Lord. And they will return. As Daniel 11:35 says, to refine them and purge them and make them pure until the end time, because it is still to come at the appointed time. Well, here in the second half of Zechariah's first prophetic vision, that appointed time has come. Notice from verse 12 that the good and comforting news comes as an answer to the prayer of the angel of the Lord to the Lord of hosts. So here we see communication between two persons of the Godhead. The angel of the Lord, or the pre-incarnate Son of God, communicating with God the Father or the Lord of hosts. The good and comforting word here for Israel is that the Lord is returning to deliver the nation of Israel from the domination of Gentile nations. And he was zealous or jealous for Jerusalem and Zion. Verse 14, that is jealous in a good sense. God used these Gentile nations to discipline his people, but they went too far, as can be seen in verse 15. Now the Lord will return to Jerusalem with mercy. The Lord's temple will be rebuilt, and there will come great blessing upon Israel as the Lord again chooses Jerusalem as his capital here on this earth. Look at verses 16 and 17 one more time. I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house, that is the temple, my house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts. My cities shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Folks, this is not referring to blessings upon the church, as some Christians have wrongly interpreted this passage. No, these are kingdom blessings upon the restored nation of Israel when the Lord returns to this earth and sets up his millennial kingdom. These are the blessings of kingdom prosperity for the nation of Israel that will have returned to the Lord in the future. And they will return. Romans chapter 11 makes this very clear. I'm reading Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. The Israel here in Romans 11, 25 and 26 is clearly not the church. It is the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. The future status of Israel will be on the mountaintop of kingdom prosperity. What about practical application? Return to the Lord, and he will return to you. Return to the Lord, and he will return to you. Go back to verse 3. Thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. You know, this is a great verse for backsliders, because that's exactly the context. Israel had turned away from the Lord and gone their own way and done their own thing, but God still loved them. And he pleads with them and promises them that if they will return to him, he will return to them. Are there any backsliders here this morning? Are you here and you're out of fellowship with the Lord? You know in your heart that things are not right between you and the Lord. You know that you did not do the right thing in certain decisions you made. Listen, God still loves you. Do you want to know the peace and joy and close fellowship with the Lord once again? You can. This promise is as good for you as it was for ancient Israel. Return to the Lord, and he will return to you.